The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from The Movement.
Welcome to week number one of a brand new series called Baggage. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a lot of baggage. This is for you. Awesome. Awesome. You know, we are excited about where we're going to go with this series. And I believe that God's going to take the next 5 weeks and really, really do some awesome work in all of our lives. The bottom line is this: all of us carry just a little bit of baggage. And I'm not just talking about the actual luggage like you see here on the stage, but some baggage that can really become problematic for us if we don't deal with it. How many of you actually like to travel? Raise your hand. How many of you don't like to travel? Raise your hand. How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? Awesome. You just raised your hand. That's so weird. So, you know, I love to travel. Part of what I do and what Megan, we get a chance to travel quite often. And you know, as you get into it, you kind of learn the tricks of the trade. And one of the things that you learn is how and what to pack and what not to pack. And I don't know about you, but my wife, she is driven by high justice. So like if it's either right or it's wrong, and you don't do if it's wrong, you do it if it's right. And one of the things that is a constant frustration for her is when we're getting off the plane. The plane has been on this flight, whether it's an hour, 2 hours, or 10 hours, and it lands, and immediately the phones come on, and then all of a sudden you pull up to the jetway or the tarmac. I forget exactly what that little vent of death that you have to stand in line in. It's never the right temperature. It's either too cold or too hot, and you pull in, and the moment the plane stops, what happens? Everyone stands up immediately. So you have 378,000 people doing this, standing up. And then there's always that joker who's at the back of the plane. And for some reason, he feels like Jesus has ordained him as the most important person in life. And he starts to run and bulldoze people, little old ladies and children, and run them off the plane. And my wife would be like, excuse me. And she'll stand like this. She hates it. She hates it with a passion. I'm always like, babe, please don't do that, because he's like 6'5". I'm going to get beat up and eaten. This is going to be a bad day for me. And she's like, well, he should not. She'll be like this. He should know better, babe. I'm thinking, come on, just be quiet just for a minute. Well, somebody ought to tell him. And she's got her back, and I'm facing this dude like, oh, my God, death is about to happen. Anyways, that's the experience of flying. But then there's always that individual who decided that they didn't want to go through the hassle of checking their luggage. They didn't want to, after the end of the flight, they didn't want to go wait around that carousel. And so they decided to pack their entire household, a child and a Yorkshire Terrier, into a little carry-on that you know and I know is way too stinking big to fit in the overhead compartment. And they're coming down the center aisle, hitting everybody's elbow as they're walking down. Excuse me, excuse me. And then they open up that thing, whatever it is called, the overhead compartment. And then they decide to shove this bag into that compartment. It's scooting everything outside, and they're it's just this big, big commotion. It's a problem. When they get off the plane, as they're pulling it off, briefcases and suitcases are flying everywhere. And then they're walking through the terminal, and this huge bag, they're literally having to compensate because of the size of this luggage that they just don't want to claim. It's a piece of baggage that they don't want to claim. And so they end up compensating for this baggage, altering the way that they walk and the way they make it through the terminal, just because they don't want to deal with the luggage. And I think you and I, each of us in this room, may have just a little bit of baggage in one or more areas of our life. And instead of dealing with it, like the little old lady trying to shove that thing into the upper overhead compartment, we have just compensated. We've just learned to deal with it in life, and we don't have to. We don't have to. So we walk through life with baggage that is not needed. There's freedom for all of us in this place, and some of us just need to learn how to deal with it. So for the next 5 weeks or 4 weeks now, we're going to talk about baggage, the different baggage that we deal with in life, and how do we live free and travel light. In this series, I'm going to ask you to do some homework. You don't get to just punch in and punch out. I'm going to hand you some stuff as you walk out the room, and there's going to be a Bible verse that we're going to ask you to memorize. We're going to ask you to memorize it. We're going to ask you to do some self-evaluation. In fact, I want to challenge you today. Today, if you don't do anything else, even if you check out for the rest of the morning, I want you to identify, what is it that I'm carrying around that doesn't need to be on this trip? What am I carrying around that doesn't need to be on this trip? I think there's different things, different levels and areas of baggage that we deal with. I want to talk about a few of them today. And I think one of the areas of baggage that a lot of us struggle with is this one right here. Unfulfilled expectations. Unfulfilled expectations. Hopefully it's spelled correctly because some of you are going to judge me all day. By the way, I'm proud of you for being here on time. That's good. The time change definitely worked. It's good. We don't judge any of you today. This is good. Unfulfilled expectations. I think this is one of the things that so many of us struggle with. We expected it to be this and it wasn't. We started dating that guy thinking he was going to become that and he didn't. And now I'm stuck with this man. We had a business venture that we just knew, a dream in our heart that we were going to just jump into. And we felt like everything was working great. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. All my expectations, all the hopes that I had, they were unfulfilled. They were unfulfilled. It didn't come to pass in the way that it should have, in the way that so many people said that it was going to. And you know, I think this is one of the biggest contributions to anger. Because it should be this way, and it's not, and I react to that, and anger boils up. Another piece of baggage, this could be called, is the baggage of disappointment. I think so many people walk through life compensating with this thing and just so frustrated that, man, I thought it was going to be one way. And maybe even, God, you said, you told me it was going to be one way, and it's not, and I don't know what to do now. And so instead of checking this baggage, I just carry it around with me through life. Proverbs 13:12 says this. It talks about this very piece of baggage. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When that expectation that we had wasn't fulfilled, we walk through life with a sick heart. And I think part of what contributes to this is what I call the 21st century gospel. The 21st century gospel, which is not a biblical theology, but that's the idea that we think that we're entitled, that Jesus should bring heaven to earth. That this should be the best of the best of the best. And that what we have before us and what we're walking towards and aiming at should be the greatest thing since sliced bread every stinking day. And I know that's true because that's how we raise our children. Oh, you're the most special kid in the history of the world. No, they're not. They're 1 in 6 billion. What we really should say, are y'all upset with me right now? Man, you're just so unique. You're the greatest thing ever. Well, I talk about this all the time. Listen, we take them to Little League and they play soccer and they run around the ball for an hour and a half. No one scores. And afterwards, like, yeah, good job. Give them a trophy. Why? Because they're awesome. No, they ran around the ball. They didn't play soccer. They ran around the field. Are you tracking with me? You guys are so angry at me. Well, fast forward 15 years, when they go to get a job and they go to an interview and the guy's like, sorry, we're not going to hire you. He's not going to go, but you did a great job on your interview. Awesome. Keep it up. Hopefully you can pay some bills with some encouragement. 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 I mean, what would happen if we told our kids, hey, 50% of you are going to end up below the poverty line by the time you're 18 to 20? Don't do that. I'm not encouraging that. Are y'all tracking with me? We build our children up to expect as though everything in life is going to be handed to them and that they're not going to have to work for it. But listen, guys, you guys know as well as I do, you have to work to make a living around here. You've got to go to work and punch in and punch out and not just be an incompetent idiot, but you've got to try hard. And then when life gets difficult, you don't just get to throw in the towel and hope somebody's going to give you a trophy. What do you have to do? You get to fight for it. Are you tracking with me? And so many of us go through life with this baggage of unfulfilled expectations because we have unrealistic expectations in the first place. And it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be. Listen, I love your kids. I'm not saying don't encourage them. Some of you are like, I'm never coming back to this church. Eh. It's okay. We love your kids. In fact, they're giving them trophies right across the hallway right now. The second piece of baggage I think we deal with is untreated pain. And I think this describes Orange County better than anything else. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm great. I'm good. Everything's awesome. I'm not going to tell you that last night my husband and I were fighting to the point of almost getting physical, and I told him I was done with it. No, it's good. It's good. It's a good day. Oh, isn't it beautiful outside? Yeah. I'm addicted to pain pills because I hate my life, but I don't want to tell you that because everything's great. Everything's great. Untreated pain. We've gotten really good at tucking. We just tuck that pain away and we don't let anyone know. Why? Because we live in the promised land. I mean, it's beautiful. The land flowing with milk and honey. The weather is amazing. It rained yesterday for the first time in 78 years. You know you're in Southern California when it rains and everybody's like, this is awesome. Are you tracking with me? We live in this place and we just tuck the pain away. My teenager's going crazy and I don't know what to do. But I don't want to tell you that because all I hear about is what your teenager is doing amazing. And we tuck that pain away. We tuck that pain away. We tuck that pain away. Jeremiah prophesied to this in chapter 6, verse 14. He says, as they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. And so we get up in the morning, we take our kids to school, we go to Starbucks, and we go to hot yoga. We go paddleboard, we go to work, we go to school at Saddleback, sit in our classes, and put on a big smile. But we've got a piece of luggage that's huge, and we're compensating for it. We're compensating for it. I think another piece of luggage we struggle with is unresolved yesterdays. Unresolved yesterdays. And, you know, really you could fill in the blank here. But I think the one of the problems that we struggle with is the fact that we don't deal with our pain quickly enough. We just kind of let it linger. I'm not going to sing the song. It's okay. We kind of let it linger. And here's the sad thing. Can I just tell you the bad news is we're going to have just garbage in this life. It's going to happen. In fact, Jesus said, tribulation and trials you will have with you always. Isn't that encouraging? But then what does the latter half of that verse say? But take hope, for I've overcome the world. Yet we have something that takes place in our life and we just let it linger and we don't deal with it. We don't handle it. We let it go unresolved. And Ephesians kind of gives us some insight in chapter 4, verse 26. It says this, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. It's okay. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Listen, some of the things that we deal with, we're carrying around baggage because of something that happened to us or an offense or something that someone said or didn't say, or maybe it has to do with an unfulfilled expectation, so we just don't deal with it. It's unresolved, and all we got to do is just go handle our business. Just go handle our business. That's one of the things that my parents did so well when they raised us. They said, listen, when you get offended or frustrated, go deal with it. In fact, Matthew 18 says that. It's crazy. Jesus kind of knew what he was talking about. Hey, when your brother sins against you, go to them immediately and say, what's up, bro? That's not a paraphrase. That's exactly what Jesus said. And I think this is one of the things that has kept this part of baggage out of my life. Because listen, if I'm upset with you, I'm going to tell you. You need to know that. If I walk past you and you're like, why didn't he talk to me? He doesn't like me. No, you're just not important. I'm kidding. If I'm upset, I'm going to come talk to you. Ask our team. Ask them. Hey, listen, let's grab coffee tonight, right now. Come over. Let's talk. Why? Because I'd rather deal with it and move on instead of letting it linger. And then all of a sudden, some silly little incident that happened blows up into some mountain where we assume we know what they were thinking, why their intention was, and what they really just hate me with their whole heart, want me to move out of the state. But if we just deal with it and go right at it, then man, sometimes we don't have to carry that piece of luggage. Deal with it quickly. We have a cultural value we call confront or throw up. Say confront or throw up. Now, what does that mean, you're asking? It doesn't mean actually to throw up. Confront or throw up means when somebody hurts your feelings or frustrates you or angers you, whether it's a friend or a child or a sibling or a parent or a spouse, confront it. Go right at it. Now, don't go in with a baseball bat saying, let's talk, bro. I'm going to linger till you laugh a little more. There it is. But you just gently go and say, hey, can we talk? I'm a little frustrated and hurt. And if you don't know how to handle it, then throw up. What does that mean? Don't go to your girlfriend. Well, let's just talk about it so we can pray. You don't go to your kids and tell them what your husband did. That's ridiculous. That's a great way to destroy a family. But go to a spiritual leader or a coach in your life. Hey, I'm struggling with this issue. I don't know how to handle it. What should I do? But confront. Deal with it. So you're not carrying the baggage of unresolved yesterdays. Unresolved yesterdays. This one, they get larger, as you can tell. This is the one that I struggle with. This next one. And it's like legitimately all the time. And it's an unhealthy view of self. This is like my biggest piece. I feel like maybe it needs to be like three times that size. I struggle with this all the time. You guys know this, that I was homeschooled my whole life. Like the homeschooling where they make wheat bread and their own butter kind of homeschooling. I've talked about this. It's okay. You can laugh. It's all right. My mom can't hear the laughter through the podcast. It's okay. Like I couldn't celebrate Halloween. We would turn the lights off and pray for your souls. You laugh. I'm dead serious. I had to dress up as Solomon or Gideon or Joshua, and they all look the same except for the beard is different. That was my life. I couldn't listen to Christian rock and roll because it was too hardcore. Yeah, welcome to my life. And so there was challenges. As a homeschooler, I never knew if I measured up to my peers academically. So I always had this thing on the inside, like, am I really in fourth grade? Like today, I asked that question. Am I really in eighth grade? I don't know. I didn't take an SAT test. I have a GED. I still have it laminated in a wallet just because it's that cool. You guys think I'm joking. And I aced the GED, but I took it with some like people that were coming into this country illegally and a couple of gangbangers. And they like cussed and stormed out. So, I mean, I was like the bell curve, man. Hey, can I just look me in the eyes for a minute? My whole life. Can I just tell you honestly, I actually excelled at just about everything I did, but I never felt like it. Every sport I ever played, every environment I've ever been in. And I carry this baggage. I never felt like I was good enough. Ever. To this day, I struggle. God, can I really be a pastor of a church in a theater? Do I really have the goods to make this thing happen? And the problem is that the only assessment of myself is mine. And so I carry around a piece of baggage and I'm compensating for it. Slows me down when it doesn't have to. My problem is the only view I have of myself is my own. Some of you may be in the same seat today. Have an unhealthy view of yourself. All you can see when you look back is your failures. The regret. And failed yesterdays. Unfulfilled expectations and pain. And as you sum all of those things up, the equation that you come up with is it must be me. Unhealthy view of self. But listen to what the scripture says. Romans 12, verse 3. This is the Message version, which is kind of a devotional form of this scripture. It says this. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. I struggle with this to this day. So I'm not here to preach at you saying you guys have baggage. I've seen all of us struggle with this. But like I said in the beginning, we got to identify what am I carrying with me on this trip that doesn't belong. And the last thing I think that most of us struggle with, unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. Now notice I didn't say unconfessed sin. I didn't say unforgiven sin, but unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. There's a difference between experiencing a moment where Jesus becomes so real that he leans in close to you and you just recognize, I've got to change some things. And you don't even have to have a conversation. It could be in the middle of a sermon or a worship journey or on a jog or a hike in your own room. And you just feel Jesus kind of lean in and you go, I got to change this. There's that one thing and I've just been holding on to the area of sin and God, would you forgive me? This area of my life has got to change. I'm so sorry. The scripture is so clear that he forgives you instantly. Instantly. But so many of us go through that moment right there. We confess it. We ask for forgiveness. But we don't change. That's what repentance is. To say, man, I'm going this way, and it's not what God wants for me or has for me. God, I'm sorry. I'm going to head towards you now. That's repentance. And the problem is so many of us came in fact, I think this one right here keeps people from coming to church. Even if you've been a Christian your whole life. Maybe you're like me. I was raised in an environment spiritually where everything that I saw was the list of do's and don'ts. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. And so it equated to this emotion and this feeling of an if-then love from God. If I'll do this, then he will love me. If I'll do that, then he will love me. If I don't do this, then he will love me. And his love goes beyond anything you could imagine and is not dependent upon anything you do or say. The question is, are you making the changes in your life to repent? Because if you're not, and you're hanging on to a lifestyle or a habit or a thought process that is contrary to the word of God, then you might be carrying the baggage of unrepented sin. Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4 says it like this. This is David. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. What is that? That's baggage. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And then he says, Selah, which means just think about that. And some of you need to think about this for a moment. Is this the piece of baggage that you're carrying? Unrepented sin, not unforgiven sin, it's forgiven. Not unconfessed, maybe you've talked about it before. But have you made the changes that you need to make? If not, you might be carrying baggage that doesn't belong on this trip. So how do we check our bags? How do we travel in the greatest way to travel? And that's to check it and walk through the airport with nothing else. You don't have to go to the security line and take off 80 articles of clothing and unlace your shoes. All you want to do is just your shoes, right? And that's it. Nothing more. I love those scanners. Those are my favorite things. How do you travel light? Well, you got to check your bags. You got to check your bags, and that's what the series is about. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack that. And kind of the staple verse for this series is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read 3 through 5. And listen, hallelujah, to what this says. Chapter 10, 3 through 5, it says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. What is that saying? It's saying that the world's solutions to fix our problems are not going to work. That there's a higher and a biblical standard. Verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. He's saying that God has a solution. He's saying that God has a solution for you, how to deal with each of these areas of baggage in our life. And I love this part right here. He goes on to say this. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds. What is strongholds? You could translate that to baggage. To demolish strongholds. Hey, look at me in the eyes for a moment. What are the strongholds in your life right now in this moment? What are the strongholds that you've been holding on to? You know, a great way that word can be translated, you know, is written in Greek. And when you translate the Greek to English, sometimes it loses the vastness and the colorfulness of the word. And I want to give you kind of the definition for the word stronghold. Are you ready? I want you to write this down. It'll be up on the screen for you. The word stronghold can be translated to this, a prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner locked by deception. Which means so many of us are traveling with baggage that's a lie. It's not even true. It's not even real. But we are surrounded and in bondage to a prison of deception. and we can't see past it or around it, and we just compensate and walk through life like this. A prisoner bound by deception. It would be like somebody who's a prisoner in a maximum security prison with no bars, no doors, no cells, no handcuffs, no guards, no guns, nothing keeping them in the cell. And if you can you imagine somebody who maybe had been falsely accused of a horrendous crime, placed in a prison that was just an open field, and yet they stayed captivated in that prison, built up in their own minds. That's the same kind of deception that we live in when we carry the baggage. And the scripture is saying that this solution for you tears down those strongholds. So what do we do? How do we deal with this? How do we go through life? If this isn't the truth, if this baggage is not based on reality, it's based on a lie, if that is the problem, then what we need is more of the truth. If the baggage that we hold on to and we face with and we're compensating and trying to make it through life is a lie, then what we need is more of the truth. More of the truth. 2 Corinthians says this: we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Which means that when the enemy leans in to whisper and says, hey, listen, you're not great enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have the skill set. You remember that last time? You thought you had a business idea, but it failed. So don't do that again. When the enemy leans in and whispers that to you, the scripture is saying, hey, we demolish those arguments. We demolish those arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So every lie that comes against you and says, no, I'm sorry, there's that pain. Remember that time that person hurt you? The scripture says, no, we set it aside and we demolish every argument. Why? Because the word of God is the truth for your life. And you don't have to live life in this deceptive prison, bound by your own thoughts that the enemy leans in to whisper. Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? Listen, it says this: and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every thought we take captive. And you don't believe me still. Some of you sit here today and you just go, yeah, that's great. It sounds good for you, but not for me. You don't know where I've been and what I've gone through. Romans 12 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're going to do in this series. Is explore some new thoughts. And could it be that maybe you, all you can see is the luggage that you have in your life and you think there's no way out, but could it be that you're wrong? I propose that you are. And that God has a plan. Your baggage is not based on a reality. It's based on a lie. So what are three truths that you can take home today? So we close in the next 4.5 minutes. Three truths. Number one, write this down. God still loves me. God still loves me. Well, it just sounds elementary, Pastor Kerry. Yeah, it does. Because sometimes you try to academically work your way out of your problem and you just need to know that Jesus loves you. You know, when this became real for me, was the moment my oldest child was born, right? The moment my oldest child was born, I felt like the Grinch, and I'll explain that in just a minute. I love God with my whole heart. And what Jesus has done for me, I'm telling you, my life is so jacked. And he came in, his grace was so amazing for me. And then I met a girl who accepted me like I am. And that's jacked up, but she's awesome. And I love her with my whole heart. And I didn't think I could love anyone more. And then my daughter was born. And I felt like my heart grew 3 sizes that day. Are you kidding me? And I don't care if she came home and told me today, hey, I'm done with Christ and Christianity. I'm going to go my own way. I would never stop loving her. Ever. Ever. Even if she broke the law, I'd sit across from the glass window with the phone to my ear as many times as I could. Why? That's my kid. And I love her. It's the same way that God is about you. Some of you, you just have this undealt with sin or the unhealthy view of self. And so you think that God's out to get you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. If he woke up in the middle of the night, he would wake up thinking about you. He would wake up thinking about you. He still loves you. He still loves you. Some of you need to hear that and to know that. Listen, I love this verse, John 3:16 in the Message version. And it's just so potent. I had to read this one. It says this: "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his only and one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." Listen to this. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. God still loves you. Another truth: God can free you. God can free you. You don't have to carry this baggage anymore. Some of you may have bought into the lie. Some of you may have compensated for this your whole life, and it's become normal. And so to even think about letting it go, let's go of a whole train of thought that becomes so difficult for you to even comprehend, but you can be free. God can free you. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says this: "You no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death." You can be free. God still loves you. You can experience freedom. And number three, God will restore you. God will restore you. That's the greatest thing about God. He forgives, forgets, receives, and restores. Some of us, with our unresolved yesterday, we think that there's no way it could ever get good again. But God can and wants to restore you. Forgives, forgets, receives, and restores. He forgives the issues of our life. He forgets about them. He receives us back into his family and restores us to a place of hope again. God can restore you. Listen to this verse, Psalm 71, verse 20. "Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up." You will again bring me up. God loves you. God can and wants to free you. And God will restore you. What pieces of baggage are on this trip in your life that don't need to be? It's time to give them up. Don't compensate for it anymore. Let's get spiritually ergonomically correct. Let's let God do a healing work of freedom in our life. You don't have to walk through life this way anymore. Hey, I want to talk to some of you in this room who can, it resonates what I'm saying. And maybe one of these pieces of luggage connected with your heart. You said, "Man, that's me. But I feel disconnected from the God you're talking about." Can I tell you that God loves you? He wants to free you and wants to restore you. But that can't happen if there's not a relationship. It can't happen. You just go through the motions. And so you might sit here and go, "Well, you know, how can I have a relationship if you've seen my past or seen what I've been through? Man, the baggage is so great. It's so vast. It's so intense. There's a gap between me and God. I just want that freedom." And you know what? There is a gap there. The Bible calls a gap a sin gap, separating us. And you know what's sad? Is there is a consequence that is grave and sobering for that sin. It's called death and an eternity in hell. But the Bible offers a radical solution. It actually calls it the gift from God. And it came through Jesus Christ. We just read the scripture in John 3:16 where God sent his only son. And he stood in the gap, and he died on the cross for you and for me. And he paid the ransom, the consequence for the sin, and closed up that sin gap so that God can radically be a part of your life and start a healing work. But you have to make a decision to follow him. It doesn't come through osmosis or simply sitting in the seats of a church. It doesn't come because you're a good person. It doesn't come because you're a bad person. It doesn't come because your parents were spiritual or you're spiritually minded. It's a decision where you say, "Today, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life." It's simple. and easy. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And right where you're seated, with no embarrassment, no one else can know. You can repeat that prayer after me and just say, Jesus, I give you my life. And in an instant, God will seal up that sin gap and begin a work that's unbelievable that you'll never forget. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, as I pray this prayer, I want you to repeat after me. And look at me in the eyes. If you're here today, maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you've been in church your whole life, but you've been running from God. It's time to come back to Him and renew that relationship with Him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one looking around. No one moving. No one getting up. If you're here and you've never prayed that prayer, it's in your own heart, quietly where you're seated today. Would you just repeat this after me? Just say, Dear God, I know that you love me. I know you've given me purpose. God, I've got sin in my life and baggage. Would you forgive me of my sin? And repeat this prayer after me, just one saying, to say, Jesus, I give you my life. I'm going to live for you forever. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.